They would have 6 minutes more.
Did they run?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Morning, Rabosai. Study the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema from the perspective of Kavon. The Mishnah says on Daf Yud Gimel, Hayakore Batora Vihigia Zman Hamikra. And the Mishnah says he's reading the Torah at the time of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. He hasn't been Yotze his Kriya yet. And he's reading the Torah. Can he be Yotze Toch Kidei Kriyas HaTorah as he's reading the Torah? So the Mishnah says yes, but stipulates one condition. And that is Kivein Libo Yotze. He has to have Kavana. What exactly is the nature of that requirement? In Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll see. Let's skip right down to the Gemara. The Sugya Shema Minah, the Gemara says, you see from this Mishnah, Mitzvos Trichos Kavana. And this would be a contradiction to the Shita of Rava in Masechta Pesachim, that mitzvahs ain't Tzrichas Kavana. That seems also to be the Shita of Shmuel. And therefore, the Gemara establishes that if a person was forced to eat matzah, he was Yotze even though he didn't have Kavana L'Shem Mitzvah. Or if a person heard a shofar, but not for the sake of the mitzvah of shofar, but rather tokel shir, he would be Yotze. That's called mitzvos ein tzrichas kavana. But here, our Mishnah seems to assume that mitzvos tzrichos kavana. So the Gemara says, Nein, there's no proof. We can reconcile our Mishnah with the Shita that holds mitzvos ein tzrichas kavana. But this is a unique case of Hayakore Batora. A case where even if I hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana in general, here I need kavana. And why is that? The answer is because he's a kore lahagia. The Gemara says, my imkiven libo likros. What does it mean, imkiven libo? It means imkiven libo likros. What does that mean, imkiven libo likros? You know, you could tell me that he had kavana, or he has to have kavana to be yotze his chiv. But what does it mean, he has to have kavana to read? What kind of special kavana? I'm reading psukim in the Torah. In this case, I'm reading the parsha of Kriyat Shema. Now you tell me I have to have kavana to be kore? And yes, the answer is likros, that he has to have kavana likros. Likros for kore le bekore lahagia. So he's fixing the Sefer Torah. Rashi says the following: Korei lahagias haSefer im yesh bo tos. Does it have some sort of a mistake? He happens to be up to the statistical probability of this happening, but it doesn't matter. He's reading the parash of Kriyat Shema from a Sefer Torah. He's trying to figure out if there are mistakes in the Sefer Torah, and it happens to be that it's Shas Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyat Shema. So you know whether or not his Kriya could serve as a kiyum of the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema. And Rashi says that if he doesn't have kavana, he's not yotze in this case. Again, even though in general mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana at this point, but here he's not yotze without kavana. Why? Because in this case, afilu lekriya nami lo miskaven. So, Rabbi, let's give a little bit of a background to try to appreciate Rashi. And what Rashi's saying, because Tosfos, as we'll soon see, is going to pounce upon Rashi. In Masechta Bava Kamma, we have a concept that's very central, that's very high profile, and it also appears in Masechta Shabbos, very high profile, and that's called Misasek. What does this concept of Misasek mean? Literally, it translates, he was preoccupied, meaning he was preoccupied with action A, and inadvertently, he performed action B. And the Gemara Bava Kamma has a number of cases. There's a case of a person who stands up from his seat, and little does he know that he has a stone
sitting on his lap. Maybe he knew about it at one point, but then he forgot about it. And what happens is, as a result of the energy force, when he stands up, he projects this stone, and it smashes someone's vessel, and he breaks the vessel. And the question is whether or not we apply the principle of Adam Muad Liolam in that case to be Mechayev him in Ezekiel. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi in Bava Kamma, which Tosfos quotes at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Dalet, has a case of Misasek, where a person goes to sleep in a place, and in the middle of his sleep he rolls over and he breaks someone's vessel. Is he Chayev in Ezekiel under the halacha of Adam Muad Liolam? Or, for example, the Gemara has in Masechta Shabbos a case of Misasek where he's pulling up something from the ground, thinking that it's already been cut, it's already been harvested, detached, and lo and behold, it turns out that it's attached. And the Gemara says that in Shabbos a Misasek is potur, and he's not even chayav a karban chatos. Normally, a shogeg is chayav a karban chatos. But a shogeg is someone who's well aware of his actions and their implications. But here, he thinks that he's pulling up something that's already tolush, and lo and behold, it's mechubar. He's unaware of the facts of the case. He doesn't even know what he's doing. It's not like a case of shogeg where I'm fully aware of my action and the repercussions of my action, just I'm not aware that it's Shabbos, or I'm not aware this malach is also in Shabbos. That's called shogeg chayev achatos. Here, in the case of Misasek, he's not even chayev achatos. Of course, again, this is way off on a tangent. In Hilchos Shabbos, there's a special halacha of Misasek. For example, even if he wants to pull up things from the ground, that he wants the black ones, and coincidentally he picks up the white ones, even that's called Misasek. But that's getting teef into Masechta Shabbos, Melechus Machshavos. But be that as it may, Misasek is someone who's completely cut off from his Maisa. In Lamdish terms, we would say he's no longer considered the Bala Maisa. In Hebrew, we'd say Hamaseh Lo Mitiachesei Lav. It doesn't even relate to him because he had no awareness of the action. Again, as I said before, in Ezekiel, whether or not Misasek is Potur, that depends upon how you define Adam Muad Liolam. It could be that Adam Muad Liolam is such a far-reaching, all-encompassing principle that man is responsible for his actions if they cause damage, that it might even have application to force a person to compensate someone for damages in a misase case. That's possible. And that's what the Gemara goes back and forth, whether Adam Muad Liolam would apply in a case where I'm totally unaware of what I'm doing and I inadvertently cause you a damage. Now here, a person is reading psukim in the Torah, and lo and behold, he happens to be reading the parasha of Kriyat Shema, and it's the moment of Kriyat Shema, of Chiv Kriyat Shema. He's reading these psukim in the Torah not because he's interested in v'mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So his kriya as Kriyat Shema is totally out of his realm, so to speak. Or is it out of his realm? Let's see Rashi again. Rashi says, "Da'afilu lekriya nami lo miskaven." Meaning, Rashi's saying that this would really fit under the description, the category of misasek. Why is that so? If I do an action, and I'm very much involved in that action with all the intentions to do the action, but just for the wrong purpose. I'm blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but for the wrong purpose, the wrong goal. Not for the sake of the mitzvah. That's a problem of what? Not a misasek, but of kavana, correct? He doesn't have an intention to be yotzei his chiyuv and his mitzvah. He's well aware of the fact that he's blowing a shofar, you know. A case of misasek in shofar, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, is where he's blowing the inside of the shofar because he knows that he has to clean it out from saliva, whatever got caught up in the shofar. And lo and behold, a cold shofar comes out of his blowing. He wasn't even interested in the mice itself. So again, if I'm interested in the mice, but just for a different purpose, that's a problem of what? Kavana. So I'm well aware of the fact that I'm blowing a shofar in Rosh Hashanah. I know that the cold shofar is going to come out of the shofar. I'm well aware of the fact that I am reading Kriyat Shema, but not for the sake of being Yotze in the mitzvah. That's an issue of Kavana, very universal controversy, a debate whether mitzvah Srichas Kavana or ain't Srichas Kavana. Here says Rashi, we're not talking about a person who's interested in Kriya, just for the wrong purpose, for the wrong goal, but rather a person who's completely cut off from his Kriya. He's not even a Kore. That's what Rashi points out here. L'kriya nami lo miskaven. You know, you can miss the point of this, Rashi. Rashi is saying we have a misasik case here because he's not even having kavana for the maisa. When I have kavana for the maisa, the question is for what goal? That's an issue of kavana. But when I don't even have kavana for the maisa, that's already misasik. That completely cuts off the connection between the maisa and the osa maisa. And therefore, Rashi says, in this case, he's not Yotze Kriyat Shema, even if I grant you, as a universal rule, mitzvahs ain't Tzrichus Kavana. And Tosus doesn't like it. Says Tosus, Pirish Bekutris, She'ain Miskavin Likros. Tema. I don't understand what Rashi is batting about here. Akati Hakarile. What do you mean? He doesn't know that he's reading? What is he in a trance? Is he in a state of, he has some sort of a forget? He's in a forgetful state of being. What is it called when you forget the past? What's that called?
Amnesia.
Right? Is he in a state of amnesia? What are you telling me here that he doesn't have Kavana Likros? Again, he has Kavana Likros. His purpose is to be Magia the Sefer Torah. His purpose is not to be Yotze the Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. That's called a Chisaron of what? Kavana. That's not a Misasek. And therefore, Tosa says, Al Kein Nira, Bekore Lagia, a whole nother Pshat. She'eno Kore Hatevos Kihilchasam. Kilchasa means he's not reading them properly. This halacha in Kriyat Shema that you have to read the psukim kiksavam. Kiksavam means the proper way, the way they're written. He's not reading it kiksavam. Ukinukudasam. And with their vowel. So if you listen to the words as he reads them, you don't hear those words. Elo kiksivasam kari. He will read not litotafos, but litotafos, to make sure that it's written chaser, the way it should be, or mezuzas, instead of mezuzos, leaving out the second vav, which changes the entire pronunciation of the word, because he wants to guarantee that although the first vav appears in the Sefer Torah, the second vav was omitted. And therefore, his reading is not kilchasa, and he's not yotze. But in kiven libo, what does that mean? Now here Tosus admits that it's a little bit of a stretch, because the Mishnah uses the term, how do you salvage, how do you save the situation? He says, in kiven libo. But this is not a question of kiven libo. Klomar, he says, lavdafkel klomar, likros. What it means, he has to have kavana likros kiddin kinikudasam ukehilchasam. So on both sides, let's just first, before we get into the depth of this sugya, just on a superficial level to summarize, there's a machlokus here between Rashi and Tosfos about how to interpret the case, the scenario of Kore Lagia when he's not Mechavin Libo, and he's not Yotze. And then we'll see, of course, the flip side when he is Mechavin Libo. What does it mean that he's Kore Lagia and he's not Mechavin Libo, and he's not Yotze? Rashi says he is reading the words in the Torah in order to come up with the toes. He's really just reading the words, but he's not interested in reading. And Tosa says, what do you mean he's not interested in reading? He knows he's reading. It's not like he's unaware of his action. And therefore Tosa says, no, we're not talking about a person who's reading the words of the Torah correctly, just that he's not interested in his reading, he's not connected to his reading. But rather we're talking about a person who's not reading correctly. And the reason he's doing that is because he's motivated to find out if they're chaseros, yiseros, and therefore he's dafka being mishabesh, he's incorrectly reading the psukim. According to Rashi, kivan libo yotza means that he has to have in mind that he wants this kriya to happen. And according to Tosis, kivan libo means he has to be careful and meticulous about the way he's reading. Okay, that's just a little bit of a summary of Rashi and Tosfos. We'll soon see that the Rambam and the Rashba have a whole other approach to this sugya, radically different than both Rashi and Tosfos. But Rashi and Tosfos really are on the same page. What do I mean they're on the same page? Both Rashi and Tosfos understand that with lo kiven libo, in this particular case of Kori Lagia, there's something about the way he's reading, because of the goal and the purpose of his reading, namely to fix up and catch the mistakes in the Sefer Torah, that's not oriented towards the Kriya itself, or the way Tosfos would say, it's not a proper Kriya because he's going to read it improperly, incorrectly. But both Rashi and Tosfos understand that the way and the purpose and the goal of his reading is going to somehow derail his reading, and it cannot serve in lo kiven as a kriya shma. But here, Rashi and Tosfos are arguing, I think, about kori lagia, the way Rashi says it, is it considered misasik? Rashi wanted to make a big deal here that he's not even miskaven l'kriya. Again, I re-emphasize the Rashi, because the more we read this Rashi over and over again, the more it sinks into our brain. Rashi is saying dafil l'kriya nami lo miskaven. And Tosfos, what do you mean l'kriya lo miskaven? What are you talking about? He's unaware of the fact that he's reading. So I can take you halfway here. I can't take you the other half. I can explain Tosfos very well. According to Tosfos, what concept will determine whether you're misasik or not? Meaning, misasik yes or misasik no hinges on what, according to Tosfos? One word. I need one word. In one word. What? Again, Tosfos says, hakarile. He is reading. What is Tosfos pointing out here? Why is this not misasik the way Rashi says it?
He's saying the words.
You're doing the thing the way it's supposed to be done.
No. On both sides. That's not it. Again, Rashi's big deal is that he is a misasik v'afil l'kriya lo miskaven. Tosfos's name, l'kriya miskaven hakakari le. He's not a zombie. He's not suffering from temporary, momentary amnesia. He's reading. He knows he's reading. What do you think? He's in a dream? Yeah, some people walk in their sleep. They are sleepwalking. No, again, on both sides. Just focus on one thing and one thing only. Forget about Kori Lagia. What is misasik according to Tosfos? Why does Tosfos say that Rashi's approach is absolutely incorrect? This could not qualify as misasik.
He's aware that he's
exactly, awareness. Let's use a Lashon Kodesh word, a Hebrew word, yedia. According to Tosfos, misasek depends upon one thing and one thing only, yedia or no yedia. A man stands up, he doesn't have yedia that he is thrusting, you know, with a force, this stone that's sitting on his lap. A man is trying to clean out his shofar. He's unaware. He has no idea of the fact that he's blowing a coal shofar. He's producing a coal shofar. A man rolls over in his bed, and in the middle of his sleep, he's not a sleepwalker, right? He's not aware of the fact that he's breaking kelim. The very maisa is totally out of his awareness. He has no idea sa maisa. Oh, you have to go, Harvey?
Yeah.
Usually you stay a little bit longer. You know, usually the phone rings at around, you know, 45 minutes into the shiur. Okay, it's good.
Okay, I'm coming.
All right, he has to go. You were called on an urgent case.
Yes.
Is it a root canal? What is it?
No,
it's just something.
We got a lunch date.
A lunch date, okay. I can't, I wish I could offer you... All right. But Harvey, we're going to go on without you. Is that all right?
Okay.
Just wanted your permission. So Rabosai, here's the deal. According to Tosfos, whether it's misasik or not misasik hinges on what? Again, one word. Awareness in English and Lashon Kodesh. We like Lashon Kodesh. Yediyah. If it's Yediyah Samaisa, you're aware of your action, then you're not a misasik. You're the Osa Maisa. The Maisa relates to you. If you're unaware of the Maisa, that's called misasik. So if I'm doing X and somehow Y turns out to happen, that's called misasik. I was totally disconnected and unaware of Y. Fractosis, then, if that be the case, Rashi's incorrect. How could Rashi say that when he's trying to figure out whether or not there are mistakes in the Torah, and he decides, again, he's not a zombie. He deliberately, intellectually decides, and he's very conscious of the fact that he's reading the words in the Torah. So if you're aware of the fact that you're reading the words of the Torah, that's Yediyah Sakriya, that's not misasik. And therefore, how could Rashi possibly understand that this case is a case of misasik?
I don't understand. Why isn't Tosfos says just, why is it being so hard on Rashi? Why doesn't he just assume Rashi is saying what he's saying, and that it's not Kriya because he's saying the words in order to be Magia?
Oh, but that's a different definition. But is he aware of the fact that he's reading it?
He's aware that he's reading it incorrectly.
No. Who says he's reading it incorrectly? That's Tosfos' sheet. Wait a minute, both sides. Let's not misunderstand Rashi. Let's not accuse Rashi of saying something that he's not saying. Rashi is saying Eino Miskavi Likros. Rashi's not saying that he's reading it incorrectly or improperly. That's not Rashi. That's Tosfos.
Reading. If you say Totafas when the word is Totafos, that's not like.
No, again. Alan, that's Tosfos Shita that he's trying to figure out the chaseros, so he reads it as totafas. But that's not Rashi. Rashi is saying he reads that it was totafos. Baruch Hashem, the sofer wrote it properly. So he read it, and he knows how to read it properly. Rashi's not learning like Tosfos that he made a mistake in his kriya. Rashi's just saying that he's not connected to the kriya. He's not miscounting to the kriya. You see, Rashi's trying to be very honest and very, shall we say, loyal to the text of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it all depends on whether he had kavana or he didn't have kavana. Tosfos says, well, kavana means for the proper kriya. Well, who says it? Rashi's saying that we're dealing with a kind of kavana. But again, Rabosai, it's a different kind of kavana. It's a chisaron kavana that goes way beyond the normal, classical, universal definition of kavana. So we have three levels according to Rashi. You've got a miskaven. You have the eino miskaven of kol haTorah kula, where he's well aware of his actions. He's doing what he has to do, but for a different reason. That's miskaven or eino miskaven in kol haTorah kula. Then you have the third level, says Rashi, where he's not even miskaven. The man thinks he's picking up something that's already been cut, and lo and behold, he pulls out something that's attached to the ground. The man thinks he's standing up, and lo and behold, he's projecting a stone that's a mazik. Or he rolls, right, all the cases that we gave, we won't go over them again. There he's lacking a kavana for the mice itself. So that's Rashi not a chisaron kavana.
So what is Rashi saying? What is he doing?
No, I'm just saying that why does Tosfos object to Rashi? That's the first question. Then we'll try to defend Rashi. But first, let's be on the same page here. Okay. Why does Tosfos object to Rashi? Tosfos objects to Rashi because he has awareness of the fact that he's reading. He's not asleep and rolling over. He's not doing X and Y happened inadvertently. We're not talking about a misasik. A misasik means that he's totally unaware of his maisa. He's kakarile. He's reading it. What I'd like to now try to understand is how did Rashi understand the concept of misasik? Why does Rashi insist that this is considered an extreme, break new ground kind of Eino Miskavi? This is not the Eino Miskavi that you and I are familiar with universally, where a man does blows a shofar, but not for the sake of the mitzvah, but rather he wants to blow reverie in the morning. No, this is a case of someone who's Eino Miskavi Likros. What do you mean Eino Miskavi Likros? That's what Tosfos says. So instead of Yediyah, what word can we use to define Rashi's Shita? How does Rashi identify Misasik? It's okay. His action is mechanical, and not what? What are we lacking here that makes this into an extreme case of misasik? It's really terrible. It's way, way far away. Kavana is not going to help me. I'll tell you why. Because if it's kavana, we're going to be so confused. Because then we won't be able to differentiate between universal kavana and misasik. You know, we want to show that misasik is more. It's more. It's more deficient, if you will. The deficiency is that much greater than eino miskavin. Because again, if it's eino miskavin, then you're stuck with mitzvah srichas kavana or mitzvah ein srichas kavana. Right? We're trying to reconcile with the sheet of the mitzvah ein srichas kavana.
Kavana can mean intention, or attention. And here it's referring to attention. He's not paying any attention at all.
Can I say it like this, Rabbi, that he's not interested in the reading at all? The reading doesn't interest him at all. Is that what you mean to say, intention?
Attention.
Attention, I mean to say attention. He's not attention. He's not attending. Is that how you make the verb? Attending? I don't know what the verb is. In Hebrew, I think the Lashon Kodesh word would be ratzon. Ratzon means when you do an action because you want that action to achieve a certain goal. Meaning, his goal here is to figure out if the Sefer Torah has mistakes or doesn't have mistakes. His goal is not kriya. So as Tosfos says, it doesn't matter. Since he's aware of the kriya, that itself connects him to the kriya, and it's not misasik. Rashi says it's not enough to be aware of the action. You have to have some benefit from the action. You have to have some will, a ratzon for that action. And Rashi holds that since the kriya here, within the perspective of what he's trying to accomplish, every human being in every scenario has a goal. In this case, his goal is not related to the kriya.
So you're saying misasik.
So I'm saying, according to Tosfos, the chisaron of yedia makes it misasik. According to Rashi, the chisaron of ratzo makes it into misasik. All right, let's go on to the Rashba. The Rashba here has a whole nother approach to this sugya. Okay. Oh yeah, one last thing before we leave Tosfos behind. So again, Tosfos is really with his back against the wall as far as the text of the Mishnah is concerned. Tosfos thinks if he's reading, so why isn't he yotze? We're holding down mitzvahs ein srichas kavana. Tosfos says he's reading improperly. Correct? He's reading improperly. So I don't understand one thing. The Gemara the daf and a half forward says, with regard to Kriyat Shema, Kora es Hashma, you'll take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Velo digdeg botzi oseh. That's the language of the Gemara. And what does the Gemara say about someone who reads Kriyat Shema and Velo digdeg botzi oseh? Yotza. How do we reconcile that Gemara with Tosfos? Tosfos says that if he makes mistakes in his reading, he's not yotze. And yet the Gemara says, Kores Hashma v'lo digdek b'yosi oseha yotza. And there are many people you may hear if you sit in to the right or to the left of someone in the shul who's not medagdek b'yosi oseha. He doesn't really read it properly. And yet, he's yotze. I mean, here in our shul we have an issue with okay, I won't go into it because
there's a difference between digdek and lo digdek. And
Kavana, Tosfos says, one second, Alan, you started good and then you went off. Alan, you're back from Washington now, so now you're in my court. Wait a second. You leave out Kavana. You started very good.
Yeah.
There's digdek, low digdek. There are different categories of what?
Of making mistakes.
David, what? How would you define two different categories of mistakes?
One is it happens by accident.
No.
The wrong nikud, for example. The wrong nikud.
Okay.
Clearly enough, or aligning the letters a little bit.
Okay. So wait a minute. So David, you're hot. You know. Let me just reiterate what he's saying. He's saying that sometimes you're not careful and you didn't read it exactly the way it should read. But sometimes you even read it improperly. Okay, that's not bad. But I think it's just the first level. Now we have to take it to the second level. What's my criterion? How do I decide how bad is bad? Whether my career is beautiful. Oh, Rabbi Kapustin, I take my hat off to you. And I want you to know that this is a Simon in Shulchan Aruch. But you won't believe me where I found it. It's in Hilchas Kriyas HaMegillah. And there, the Mechaber makes a difference between the following case. He says, instead of reading La Yehudim Hoysa Ora, he read it La Yehudim Hoysa Ora. In other words, he read it as if there were two Yuds. And the Mechaber Paskins, if you want to take a look, is Tafresh Tzadi, Yotze Yedei Chavasa. Instead of saying Yehudim, he said Yehudim. Now, David, you might have said that he would have undermined his kiyum because it's really an incorrect pronunciation. And yet the Mechaber Paskins, that's correct. Why? Because, that's what Rabbi Kapustin said, whether or not you hear the word Yehudim or Yehudim, you know that he means Yehudim. If the tos, if the mistake changes the meaning of the word, the understanding of the word, then it's possible. But if you can still salvage the meaning of the word, even those mistaken, what we call bitui means in the formulation, the expression of the word, is tos be bitui eina poselis, unless it was a tos she'ein ba havanas hamila. If the tos corrupts the understanding of the word, then even if you accept the Gemara as is paskin the Shulchan Aruch and the Kriyat Shema, that lo digdek b'diososeha, nevertheless yotza. Why? Because it doesn't pervert the meaning of the word.
So how does the word totafas and because
totafas means something totally different.
What does it mean different?
You have to take out the Rashi. He uses Greek for that. There are two things in Greek. There's totafos and totafas. I forget.
Tapas
means two things.
Yeah, but that's it.
I would say that kshartem and kshartam, I think you'd be yotze according to in Kriyat Shema, you'd be yotze. I know we have to look it up. I don't want to.
Different things. It means different things.
What's the difference between kshartem and kshartam?
You plural,
right? So maybe singular and plural would be enough, and you'd have to repeat Kriyat Shema. Right. Yeah, that's what you have to know. But again, if it's a mistake in Osioseha and not in Havanoseha, that's when you could say you're Yosei. The problem with this, Rabbos, I don't have a Rambam here in front of me, but the Rambam in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah seems to assume that any mistake whatsoever in Kriyas HaTorah apostles the Kriya. And the Magid Mishnah goes wild over this. It seems that according to the Rambam, don't quote me on this, if you make a mistake in the Nigun, if in the Tamei Akra, you have to really repeat the thing. That's not our minhag, but I'm just saying, thank God for bar mitzvah boys, you know, that's not our minhag. Although I've seen people do very harsh things to bar mitzvah boys, but that's a different discussion, you know, they correct them for shtuyot. But what I'm just saying is that there are categories of toyos, and I think that we're going to, you know, we could read this tosis and come to a, you know, jump the gun, so to speak, come to a mistaken conclusion that any tos in Kriyat Shema is poselis. That might be true in Kriyas HaTorah. The Magid Mishnah quotes Yerushalmi in the last parak of Megillah. Yerushalmi has the pasuk. Who remembers the pasuk in Nehemiah? Remember, Ezra takes out the Sefer Torah and he reads it publicly. So there are extra words in that pasuk, and Yerushalmi darshins every word to teach another kind of mistake. If you did this kind of mistake, you have to repeat the kriya. If you did this kind of mistake, you have to do the kriya. The Magid Mishnah says that that's the base of the Rambam for his extreme meticulous standards as far as not making any mistakes whatsoever in the Kriyas HaTorah. I'm not pasking Aloch Lamais, but you should know about this Magid Mishnah because he understood the Rambam literally. And if you want to find the Magid Mishnah, you can find it in Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Vav. Okay, not for us now. Okay, now we'll take a look at the Rashba. The Rashba says the following. Efsholi Od. Again, this is after a very long, complex presentation, but that's not for us. He says the following. The Gemara says later on that according to Rabbi Meir, all you need is kavana in the first pasuk. If you want to take a quick look on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, is right in the first. You know, there are many different kind of wide lines, but the first of the skinny wide lines, if you could say such a thing, meaning the middle sized lines, Tana Rabbanan on the second of the line says Shema Yisrael Shem Lekein Shem Echad Adkan Tzricha Kavana Salev Divrei Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara goes through many, many different shitas in the Tanoim as to what what part of Kriyat Shema is absolutely indispensable as far as Kavanas HaLev. How much of Kriyat Shema do I need be Kavanas HaLev to be able to see the midst of Kriyat Shema? And Rabbi Meir is the most lenient of all the shittas. He says just the first pasuk, and that's all. And the Gemara seems to paskin like Rabbi Meir. Efshali lomar ot. The pasuk rishon tzarech kavana. The first pasuk of Kriyat Shema needs kavana. Vafil b'di'evet, and if you omitted kavana, you're not yotze. V'ein dover zeh talui be'idach the mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Let me point out that the word be'idach here, which literally means the other one, but here it means a lot more. Here it means be'idach, meaning the universal requirement of kavana. In other words, what the Rashba is telling us here, and we have to be attentive as we go through the Rashba, is that there are different categories of kavana with regard to Kriyat Shema and Kol HaTorah Kula, all the mitzvahs of the Torah. He says the following, that even though the kavana of Kriyat Shema is li'ikuva, as far as b'di'evit is concerned, you're not yotze, that's as far as the pasuk rishon, Rabbi Meir. However, that doesn't reflect the universal halacha of mitzvah tzrichas kavana. And therefore, he's saying that even if mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, I would still need kavana in Kriyat Shema for the minimum of what? Pasuk rishon. Excellent. The Hasam, there in Kol HaTorah Kula, what he calls Be'idach, Be'kavana Lotzeis Hadvarim Amurim. Beautiful Rashba. I mean, I kick myself. Why didn't I think of this? It's so posh. The Rashba is saying, and again, we're going to try to weave this into the Sugya, that in Kol HaTorah Kula, the requirement of Kavana is a different kind of Kavana. It's a kavana lotzeis. Why am I doing this? What motivates me? My intention is for the sake of the mitzvah. And if I hold mitzvah strichas kavana, that's absolutely indispensable. Aval kan. But here in Kriyat Shema, we're talking about a whole different type of kavana. Tzarech kavanas ha'inyan. It means to understand what you're accomplishing, what you're reading. Klomar. Shlo yaharher bidvarim acherim. He shouldn't be distracted by, you know, am I fixing the Sefer Torah? Is it correct? Is it not correct? Why? All these yehurim, all these distractions will undermine his kavana. What does it mean? What's his goal? What's the halachic requirement of kavana? Kedeshi yakavel olav malchu shamayim paskomas halif. His heart, his intention, has to be focused on Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. So again, let's just summarize. The Rashba says that the Kavanah of Kriyat Shema is unique and should not be equated with the universal Kavanah that applies to all mitzvahs. In all mitzvahs, we're talking about Kavanah, let's say, Sidei Chovasa. In Kriyat Shema, we're talking about what Kavanah? Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Ukeinyon Sha'amru Gamkein, Bibracha Rishonah Shel Tefillah, Bishili Perek. Ein Omdim, meaning that there is one bracha, the first of the 19, 18 brachas that requires kavana, that's Avos. And afterwards, we drop the ball, we don't require kavana. Why? Because again, we're not talking about kavana in the classical sense of L'shem mitzvah, we're talking about the kavana to understand what is tefillah all about. Vatam. Shebishar mitzvah shei mitzvah say kol she'osa mitzvasa afal pishalon is kavin ba. He doesn't have to have all the kavanas in the mitzvah and understand what they mean. He simply does it as a mechanical act, but he does it for the sake of the mitzvah. God commanded me. That's all I have to know. Harekiya mitzvasa el she'eno mina mufchar. Again, you could always expand and enhance your kavana. Those are different levels. You know, if you're a chassidish yid, you know, you're going to say, hinani mukhara mizuma, and you're dechilu, dechimu, and all the 9 yards. But that's not an absolute requirement. What's indispensable is that you're doing this for the sake of fulfilling God's command. V'kolshkein sheyotzim kivein lotzeis afal pisha hira b'yemtza mitzvah. And how much more so if he gets distracted in the middle of his mitzvah, but he had kavana lotzeis, for sure he's yotze. That's as far as universal mitzvahs are concerned. Aval, but with regard to Kriyat Shema and to Tefillah, Elu, these two, Hein Kabolas O Malchus Shemaim, in the case of Kriyat Shema, O Sidur Shvachim, in the case of Tefillah. Again, this is fascinating that when the Rashba wants to define Kavanah as integral to Tefillah, he mentions Sidur Shvachim. Right, that's the first of the three elements that make up Tefillah. Is Eino Bidin, the halacha doesn't tolerate Shehei Levavo Pone Lidvar Macherim, that he's distracted. He's got to be totally single-mindedly focused on Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim or Sidur Shvachim. Oh, says the Rashba. Now the pieces of the puzzle begin to fall into place. Vizui shechalku shechilku bein bracha rishon l'shar brachas. He says, wait a minute, what the heck is going on here? Rabbi Meir says that we can be mechalik between the first, well, that's not Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Kiva, we can finish the first bracha and the second, or between the first pasuk in Rabbi Meir's case and the other psukim. Im advarim tluya b'mitzvah srichas kavano ein srichas kavano. If you're going to apply the universal standard of kavana, whether we require it according to Mandiyam Tzrichas kavana and so forth and so on, Mali Bracha Rishona, or in the case of Rabbi Meir Pasuk Rishon, Mali Shara Brachas. Every single part and parcel of Tefillah and every single part and parcel of Kriyat Shema requires kavana. Meaning, if you hold that Mitzvah Tzrichas kavana, Kavana is an indispensable requirement in making the mitzvah into a mitzvah and fulfilling the mitzvah. Whatever constitutes your mitzvah, in the case of Shmon Esra, you have 18 brachas, 19 brachas. Each one of those brachas requires kavana, which means you have to have kavana. Latzeis yidei chovaso, if you hold mitzvah srichas kavana. And yet, the Gemara establishes in Perkein Omdim that it's sufficient to have kavana in the first bracha of the 18 brachas. How could that be? The answer is the Gemara's kavana of the first bracha has nothing to do with kavana in mitzvahs, whether mitzvah srichas kavana or ain't srichas kavana. It has kavana to understand what tefillah is. I'm setting up a dialogue, a relationship, or a communication with Hashem. That's what tefillah is. I'm omein lifnei hashchina. Or in the case of Kriyat Shema, I'm being makabel ol malchus shamayim. Is v'ha'at, but now, on the one hand, everything seems to fit into place, right? And we now understand that when the Tanoim at the bottom of Yud Gimel and Aleph, going on to Yud Gimel and Beis, talk about how much kavanah I need, to what point, which parish is the first parish, the second parish, the third parish, the first pasuk, all these shittas are talking about a different kind of kavanah. Not the kavanah of universal kavanah, latzeis yedei chovaso. And it's so beautiful, this Rashba. I tell you why I'm so thrilled with this Rashba. I couldn't understand when the Gemara reads the first line in the Mishnah, Yekorei Batorah, and it says, Imkiven Libo Yotza, the Gemara says, let's derive from this that Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. And the Gemara says, Korei La'Giyah. Why didn't the Gemara, in this long brisa, with all the different shitas of Tanoim, say, Shema Mino the Mitzvah Srichas Kavana? Meaning, even if I go with Reb Meir, the most lenient shita, he still requires Kavana, albeit in the first pasuk. Why did the Gemara say Shema Mina Mitzvah Srichas Kavana? And he can't give the answer of Kori Lagia. We're not talking about a Kori Lagia. But according to the Rashba, it's not a question, because the subject of this brisa has nothing to do with Mitzvah Srichas Kavana or not. In fact, within the context of Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, you can't whittle down Kriyat Shema and break it down into its smaller parts and say, well, it's enough in Parsha Rishona, Parsha Shnia, Pasuk Rishon. Mitzvah Srichas Kavana means every part and parcel that is indispensable to the mitzvah, whatever the Torah requires, requires Kavana. That's how Mitzvah Srichas Kavana is concerned. And therefore, if Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, clearly all of Kriyat Shema, at least all of the Doraisa of Kriyat Shema, the Rabbanah might drop the requirement of Kavana, that's going to be a sugya unto itself. But whatever the Torah requires in Kriyat Shema must have Kavana, because I hold Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. Why are you telling me Pasuk Rishon, but this, that, and the other thing? The answer is because we just want to set up the unique kavana of Kriyat Shema, namely Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. Ah, yeah.
So why can't you say that that's in fact what's happening here? That the Shuddha said, meaning that all the different shittas from Meir, the first pasuk, the one who says the first right. There, why couldn't you say that they are actually talking about the Oisa requirement of Kriyat Shema? And therefore the Mishnah should, the Gemara should have answered you, Gimel Malal, that Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, each one at its level.
So again, if not for the Rashba, I would be in the dark. I wouldn't understand. Why didn't the Gemara say Shema Mino Mitzvah Srichas Kavana on whatever level it is? Yeah. The answer is because the subject of this Brisa and all the Tanoim that appear in this Brisa is not Kavana in the sense of L'shem Chova, L'shem Mitzvah. We're talking about a whole different Kavana. How much Kavana do I have to understand and to achieve Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim?
We know that simply because it's Rava who passes like Rav Meir, and Rava is the one who says Kavana?
I don't think so, Yechiel. I mean, again, I don't know, you want to write a Shtickle Torah and publish it, that's good. I just meant something else. I just meant that I was very upset and very disappointed, and I was kicking myself, what's going on? Why didn't the Gemara say every Tana, no matter what his name is, even Rav Meir, who only requires kavana in the first pasuk? Every tana requires kavana. If every single tana in this price requires kavana, shma mino mitzvah srichas kavana. In our Mishnah with Korei and and Higiyas Ma, and the Gemara does somersaults in the air to try to reconcile that even though mitzvah ain't srichas kavana here, I need kavana because he was Korei like Gia. Here, the Gemara doesn't even blink an eyelash. Why didn't you ask me? How do I reconcile this brisa with mitzvahs? Einam tzrichas kavana. So again, without getting into who says what and rav and this and tokel shir and kafu lechol matzah, whatever the case is, right here when I read our Gemara, there's a line in the Gemara that's missing, and the answer to this problem could not be korei lagia. We're not talking about korei lagia. According to the Rashba, the whole question doesn't get off the ground. We're not discussing in this price, the subject of this price, the theme of this price, or the koteret, is not kavana in mitzvahs. The theme of this price, the subject, is kavana in kriyat shema. And what is the unique kavana in kriyat shema? Kabbalah sol malchus shemaim. How much kabbalah sol malchus shemaim do I need? Oh, but the problem is the following. That if you go back to the Shema Minah, that does appear in the Gemara on Korei Lagia, okay? Right, how you Korei about Torah of Higiyazman, Hamikra, meaning Kriyat Shema, Im Kiven Libo Yotza, Ishma Mino Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. According to Rashba, who says? What's Gemara thinking? It doesn't say anything about our mission about Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. Our mission is talking about what? Kavala Solvach Shema, Kriyat Shema. Oh, it says the Rashba. That's not how the Gemara understood the Mishnah initially. In the Hava Mina, says the Rashba, Hadikaboy, what the Gemara wants to derive, Shamat Mina, Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, Mishum de Mashma Le, the Gemara thinks that we're talking about all of Kriyat Shema. What does the Rashba mean that we're talking about all of Kriyat Shema? When the Mishnah requires him Kiven Libo Yatza, not like the Braisa, which splits it up and tells you to what extent I need Kavana, but the Mishnah's Kavana requirement reflects or is or relates to what? The entire Kriyat Shema. What does the Rashba mean? What kind of Kavana do we need in the entire Kriyat Shema? There's not one Tana who says he needs Kavana in all of Kriyat Shema. What's he? We're talking about the universal Kavana, the Kavana of Latzeis Yidei Chovaso. That's the problem. And that's where the Gemara thinks that that Kavana, if I maintain Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, is a requirement in the entire Kriyat from beginning to end. And that's what the Gemara derived. The Gemara says, name. The problem is, according to Rashi, he was Korei Lagia and he was a kind of misasei because he wasn't at all interested in reading, according to Tosis, but he was aware that he was reading, but he was reading improperly, and therefore the entire Kriyat Shema is completely thrown overboard and disqualified because he was a Korei Lagia. But in the Hava Mina, the Gemara assumed that this halachic requirement of the Mishnah of Kavana, which the Mishnah formulated with regard to the entire Kriyat Shema, Mitchilas Avad Sofa, is a reference to the Kavana, a requirement of Kavana in the universal sense of La Kavana L'Shem Mitzvah. It's only after the Gemara reinterprets the Mishnah that our requirement of Kavana is for a specific scenario of a person who's being Korei L'Hagia, and therefore he's not even aware of his Kriya or whatever it is, not whatever we said in Rashi, we don't have to go over it, or he's not reading it properly. That's why the entire Kriyat Shema from beginning to the end requires Kavana. Is the Rabosai, this sugya, according to the Rashba, has Roman numeral number 1 and Roman numeral number 2. Meaning, the first part of the sugya, Hayakore, Vigias Mano, etc., Kiven Libo, that kavana is the universal kavana. At least in the Havamim. And even in the Maskana, we agree that that kavana that the Mishnah requires applies to the entire Kriyat Shema from beginning to end. Then we get to Rabbah number 2, and that's the subject of the Braisa. And that's not the kavana of universal mitzvahs, that's the unique kavana of Kriyat Shema, Kabbalas O Malchusha. Beautiful the way he divides up the sugya into two parts. And now, of course, there's no Shmavit on the second part, because we're not dealing with Kavon and Mitzvahs, we're dealing with Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shema.
I think, at least the way it sounded to me, like what Yehiel said before, was that, at least he said when we were learning the Kabbalusa, is that there's a difference between the Kavona of Mitzvos and the Kavona and carrying out the various acts. So, you can't be, even if what the mitzvah is tarichas kavana or not by lulav, if you never pick up the lulav, you're not yotzer with the mitzvah of lulav.
You remind me of the Rambam that we discussed about bracha, you know, where he said the wrong bracha and he's yotzer according to the Rambam.
Yeah. So, but what Yehiel is saying is the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, of leading toward Rav Meir is the first pasuk, is Kavana in Kavala Solvachu Shamayim, which requires that is the mitzvah itself. So it's akin to, if you don't have Kavana, you have not performed the mitzvah. It's like they're not picking up the lulav. It doesn't matter whether you...
Again, but what question are you coming to answer? I mean, everything you say is excellent.
That's
but
what the Rashba is saying. That,
oh, you mean why Kriya Shema has its own unique requirement of Kavana? Beautiful.
Okay.
Okay. So I was gonna try to weave that into the Rambam. Mitch, you have a Rambam for me, by any chance?
Right. So here is reciting it.
Kriya Shema?
It is not the mitzvah.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
That's, I think, what the Rashba was saying. The mitzvah is not reciting it. Reciting it is a stam, is a general type thing. But if you don't have kavana, that's you haven't done the mitzvah, because that's
okay.
Is kavana
so
much.
So Al, let's hold off on that, because I think it'll fit beautifully into the Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Beis Mihilchas Kriyat Shema. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam says the following. One second. I think. Maybe it's an Aleph. Yeah, Halacha Aleph. Okay. Hakori Eshma, v'lo kiven libo. He didn't have kavana. Says the Ram the following. Lo kiven libo b'pasuk rishon shushma Yisrael lo yatzi idei chovasa v'ashar im lo kiven libo yatza afilu hayakorei batora kedarko o magia es haparshios ha'elu b'yonis kriya yatza v'hu shekiven libo the Pasuk Rishon. Rabosai, this Rama makes no sense. This is pedagogic, I'm sorry. This Rama makes no sense. Because how could the Rama say that a man who's Korei Vatora Kedarko, he's Magias Aparshios, as long as he had Kafar in the first Pasuk, he's Yotze? Makes no sense. If you go with Rashi, then Rashi's saying he's a misasik. He was totally disinterested in his kriya. And if that be the case, how could it be yotzei? What good is it if he had kavod in the first pasuk? And if you're going with Tosis's approach, that kori lagia means that he's mishabesh with a real serious tos, as we discussed earlier. He's reading shalok ilchasa, shalok iksava. So what difference does it make if he read the first pasuk with kavod? This Rama makes no sense. What's the answer? Which Kavon is the Rama? Exactly. The Rama is talking about Kavon Sol Malchus Shamayim. The Rama says the following, that if he was Kori B'Torah, Kedarko, what's his interest? What is he aware of? He's just aware of the letters in the Torah to see if they're being written properly. He's being Magias HaParshios. He has no interest in Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. That's the furthest thing from his mind, says the Rambam. Says the Rambam, nevertheless he's Yotze. Why? Because he's Mechaven Libo the Pasuk Rishon. It's mamish like the Rajba. The Kavana that the Rambam is talking about is the Kavana of Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. And the halacha is that in Kriyat Shema, if you have this unique Kavana of Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim in the first Pasuk, that will carry you through for all the parshios, and your yotze, even if you are distracted when you read the balance of Kriyat Shema. But again, what the Rambam is learning in Kori Lagi is not the way Rashi learns, not the way Tosis learns. He's neither learning that there's a misasek, nor that he is reading improperly. He's learning that the Kori Lagi is someone who is not at all emotionally, mentally involved in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Says the Rambam, he's Yotze anyway. Why? Because Kivin Libo. Says the Rambam, why would Kivin Libo help him? The answer is, because we passing like Reb Meir, that if he has kavanah in the first pasuk, and the Rambam interprets that kavanah to be in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, then that's sufficient, and he's yotze. And once again, Rabbosai, we can weave this in to the Gemara. The Gemara says Shema Mino Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah. The Gemara thinks in the Hava Mino that Kori Lagia is a chisarn in kavanah. In universal terms, he's not in the least bit interested in fulfilling his mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Ishma mina mitzvahs, tzrichas kavanah. The Mishnah requires kavanah. Nein, says the Gemara. We're talking about a Kori Lagia. He's not even aware of the fact that he's being mekabel O Malchus Shemayim. Im kivein libo yotza. How much kavanah does he have? Where does kavanah O Malchus Shemayim begin? Where does it end? How far does it have to take us? The answer you'll find in the Braisa in the next sugya. And according to Rabbi Meir, it's enough that he had kavana of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim Pasuk Rishon. And therefore the Rambam says, Im kivein libo Pasuk Rishon Yotza.
What about, according to the Rambam, what if he made a mistake in pronouncing something in Pasuk Rishon, but had Kabbalah to be Mekabal?
So again, that depends upon the Rambam's about, lo dictek belsio seo, that we'll have to, see. That rule, whatever it is irrelevant to the distinction between the first pasuk and the other pasuk.
In other words, would he go so far as to say, if you were Mekabal Ol Malchus Shemayim without saying the first pasuk,
No. You need to create. In fact, how many parshas does the Rambam require that you read? You remember we had a long discussion about all three parshas. Right. Yechiel?
I just want to say if we can talk about the
price
for a second, Rabbi Meir, where you only need the first pasuk. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about the mitzvah of Shemayim, which is the essence of Kriya Shemayim, and I only need the kavanah for that. Then what mitzvah even Mekayim, according to Rabbi Meir, for the first parak?
Or all three parshis.
Okay, well, the other one I can say parak shini is kabbalas ol mitzvahs. The third one I can say is mitzvah. Because I would have said that if it's kabbalas ol malchus shemayim for the whole thing, we'll have to include it. Then you have to have kabbalah for all of it. But once I don't have to have kabbalah beyond the first person, what mitzvah?
No. So Yechiel, your same question applies to others, right? The Gemara that we've mentioned before. So somehow magically, again, we have to analyze how this works, but the mechanics. What the Gemara is postulating is that if you have the awareness at the beginning, it somehow carries you through. It's sort of like, I don't equate this, but the Gemara says in Gittin that you need Kavanas Lishma and Ksiva Saget, and it's enough that he has Kavana on the first line. Or for example, the Gemara in Chulin about Shechita, that he has the Kavana Lezevach, Lishem Zevach at the beginning of a Shechita. He doesn't need it at the end of a Shechita. There's certain halachas of Kavana. We would say Hakavana Ratza. It runs on its own. It has its own legs and it flies. Okay, that has to be understood. But I thought, Rabosa, you're going to ask me a much more fundamental question, a bomb question here. The Rambam is saying that he's a Kori Lahagia. Why is he reading three parashas in the Torah? He wants to fix up the sefer, correct?
But they're not in the same order. Not in the same order.
No, okay. They're both sides. Yechiel, you're lucky you aren't in the Rav Shi, I'm telling you. I'm a mellow guy, but the Rav would have just made mincemeat to you, you know. I'll never forget, I was sitting next to my friend Alan Schnall, and between us was another guy. I won't mention names. So the Rav, so this guy, who was between me and Alan, yelled out an answer to the Rav's question. So Rav turns around and says, "Who said such a thing?" So this guy says, "Schnall said it!" Because he didn't want to take the brunt for it. You know? No, what I mean to say, seriously, this is a bomb cash. Listen carefully. The Rambam says you kori lagia and yotze kriya shma. Why? Because you had kavan in the first pasuk. Why? Because Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu decided, you know, I'm going to be Makabal Malchus Shamayim. What kasha should you ask? Again, a halachic kasha. Don't ask me technical questions here. I'm not interested in psychology.
Obviously, the Rambam is not holding Lahagia was in the first place.
No, Rabosai. Ask me a simple, straightforward question. You kick yourself if you don't ask it. What about Mitzvah Strichas Kavala? Meaning, again, the Kavana of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim Zotchad Meir, that's what Meir's revolution and the Rambam adopts it, that's only requirement in what? In the first Pasuk. But the man is Korei Lahagia, which means that as far as the balance of Kriyat Shema is concerned, he isn't in the least bit interested in the midst of Kriyat Shema. He's interested in fixing his Sefer Torah. He's like, where's the Kavana? Meaning the Kavana Lotz, I see they chovaso. I can understand, I can justify that this unique halacha of Kavana with regard to Kriyat Shema, we call it Kabbalah Sol Malchus, that applies and can be fulfilled through the first pasuk. But Mitzvah Strichas Kavana applies for the entire mitzvah. We never found that in Mitzvah Strichas Kavana, you know, you can split up the mitzvah into its parts, you know. Let's say, for example, you have to eat a full kizayis of matzah. I'm just giving you a saber tozen. So if Mitzvah Strichas Kavana, I have to have kavana from the beginning of the kizayis till the end of the kizayis. Here too, the Rama Paskin said all three parshiyos of Kriyat Shema are a doraisa requirement. I have to read all three. And the Rambam's talking about a Kori Lagia who clearly doesn't have Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah, and yet the Rambam holds that he was Yotzi Yedei Chovoso. Is Rabosai, what conclusion should I derive from this kasha? That the Rambam Paskin's mitzvahs ain't Tzrichas Kavanah. And here, Mitch, you're going to help me and open up a Rambam. This maybe we'll need the virtual one, I don't know. The Rambam in Hilchas Chametz Umatzah. And the Rambam is very outspoken about it. The Rambam says that they forced him to eat matzah.
There's Nana Gufo.
Oh, okay, one second. Rabbi, you're unbelievable. You're stealing all my chidushim here for today. But again, the Rambam is clear that mitzvahs ain't Tzrichas Kavanah. The Rambam says it black and white in Hilchas Chametz Umatzah, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel. I don't know if you got a chance to look it up. And the Rambam says they forced him to eat matzah. And the Rambam says he's Yotze, Afal Pisha Lo Kiven, even though he didn't have Kavanah. We have it, Mitch?
Yeah,
which Perek? Perek Vav Halacha Gimel. Oh, I thought you would read it for me. Okay. Ochal Matzah below Kavana. Kigon Shansu Akumo Listim Lechal Matzah. Yotze Yedei Chovoso. How much more outspoken could the Rambam be? So if you put that Rambam together with this Rambam at the beginning of Perek Gimel Milchus Kriya Perek Beis Milchus Kriya Shema, it fits into a pattern. The Rambam is very consistent. The mitzvahs ain't Tzrichas Kavana. I'm talking about Kavana Lattes. Ella, what is a unique requirement in Kriya Shema of Kabbal Sol Mashar? The Rambam accepts Rabbi Meir, and that's enough in Pasuk Rishon. Oh. So what is the Rambam going to hold in the case of Shom? Here the Rambam says, Perek Beis Milchus Shofar Halacha Hey, that if you're blowing shofar, I can only be Yotze if I have Kavana Lotzeis. And the Rambam holds that Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana. Again, let's just summarize. We'll read the Rambam. You have it in Shofar Perek Hey Halacha, Perek Beis Halacha Hey. The Achronim go to town on this. Why does the Rambam require Kavanah and Shofar, and yet he waives the requirement of Shofar and Matzah, he waives the requirement of Kavanah in Kriyat Shema? You have it, Mitch?
Okay. Go ahead.
V'shama shomea v'niskaven lotzeis yidei chovaso yotza. All right, that's already post doc. You know, just but what we need for our purposes is that the Rambam holds that if you hear someone blowing shofar from Rosh Hashanah, you're only yotze if you have kavana lotzeis. Is that the Rambam requires kavana lotzeis in shofar? Why is shofar different?
How about the one that's blowing?
I don't know if there's no mice. You mean Shmia is not a mice. Is that what you mean? Okay, I would say it a little differently, but yeah.
You're talking about Shmia. What about the person who blows it? Okay, the shoe.
That's a lot of dollar.
And what does the Rambam say? So again, the Rambam talks about Misasik in Shofar and he says you're not Yotze. What would be the Rambam in Tokel Shir? I don't know. I would assume that if the Rambam requires Kavana Lotzeis, then Tokel Shir is not Yotze. Aye, the Gemara has the Tokel Shir Yotze. Those are the different Mandiomri. We'll look in Rosh Hashanah. But Rabosai, the plaque grows thicker because I'll tell you the honest truth. I had a whole shtickle Torah prepared for you today about why shofar requires kavana lotzeis, but it's not going to hold water because the Rambam in Perek Beis Mehilchas Megillah paskins that you can only be yotze kriyas haMegillah if you have kavana lotzeis. So I had a whole theory worked out why shofar is different and what the nature of shofar is and shofar's tefillah. And I thought I was going to get a PhD for this, but the Rambam says in Hilchas Megillah, Perek Beis Halacha Hey, it's again Perek Beis Halacha Hey, that Megillah requires kavana. You have it, Mitch?
Yeah. Hakoriyas Megillah below kavana lo yotza.
Hakoriyas Megillah below kavana lo yotza. How much more? Right, unbelievable. He has the same case of Magia. So the Rambam in Shofar say in Kriyat Shema says if you korei lagia yotza, even though you don't have kavana. Why? Because you had kavol so malchus. Fine. The Rambam in korei lagia in Megillah says lo yotza because lo kivanis libo lotzeis. The Rambam in Hilchas Chametz Matzah says I don't have to have kavana. The Rambam in Hilchas Shofar says I do have to have kavana. So on both sides, it's really two against two, what we call teku. So the Rabbi used to tell us that Reb Chaim held that according to the Rambam, mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. Why is shofar different? Because in the case of shofar, he's being yotze through someone else's takiyah. And therefore, he needs what's called a tziruf. He needs some connector, but I'm looking for a word, a vav in Hebrew we call it, a hook. That's the word I'm looking for. He needs a hook to hook himself into the tkia of the tokea. What is that hook? Kavana. Without kavana, the tkia satokea is separate, it floats in space, it's suspended in midair, it doesn't relate to me as a shomer. How do I link up and link into his tkiah through kavana? Ah, Reb Chaim is very beautiful, but what are we going to do with the Rambam and Hilchas Megillah?
Well, before that, in tkiah believe kavana is also not yotza.
No, only if he's being trying to be motzi someone else. He has to have kavana in order to be motzi someone else.
Yeah, but if I have kavana, so there's your hook. So what do I need? What need is kavana?
No. The shomea has to hook up to the tkiah of the tokea. Yeah. How does he link up?
The Rambam said that the shomea has kavana, but the tokea doesn't.
Why not? Who's not yotze? The shomea?
Shomea.
Right. No, because we need a tzir between both of them. I have to have kavana as a tokea to be motzi you. You have to have a kavana to lotzeis through my tkia, and that links us up and unites us as one.
The tokea doesn't need kavana to be motzi itself.
Correct. It's only to be motzi someone else. Right. And it's meduyik in the Rambam. But the problem is, given the Rambam and Hilchas Megillah. So Rav Chaim says something. What?
Not the same.
No, Megillah is not talking about being motzi for someone else. He's talking about he's reading for himself, but he was korei la hagia and he's not miskafin. So Rav Chaim wanted to say that the Rambam in Megillah is talking about someone who is mispronouncing words.
But the Rambam also says korei la hagia below kavana leyatzer.
No, below kavana means he's not miskafin to read it properly. Very difficult to say that in the Rambam. But
that.
Yeah, but that's exactly the punchline that Tosfos pulled off in Alan Mishnah, right? That when the Gemara says that Kiva Libo Yotza means Kiva Libo Likros Kil Chasa, you know that. But I wasn't happy with it in Tosfos, and I'm surely not happy with it in the Rambam, because the Rambam himself in Korei Lagia and Kriyashma says Yotza. And so why should I assume that Korei Lagia and Kriyashma means he's reading it properly? But Korei La'Hagia and Megillah, he's reading it improperly. Iker Chosam and Sefer, the Rambam is a pretty good pedagogue. I mean, this is, you know, we'd have to fail him in pedagogy 102 or 101, whatever.
At least the Krishma, at one point, at the very beginning, he started out with
Torah. Oh, you want to say a new Shtickle Torah? Or what? Oh.
Yeah,
So wait a minute. So you want to say the following. That really... So what are you holding? You're holding that mitzvah Trichas Kavanah or mitzvah Zain Trichas Kavanah? Which way you want?
What do you mean to buy Kavanah?
No, Kavanah Lotzeis, I'm talking.
No, you see, that Kavanah from Kaba Ol Malchus Shemayim.
Right.
That thing, once he had that, from the fact that he was...
No, wait a minute. Just one second. One second, Mitch. You're skipping a step here, if you pardon my saying so. First of all, tell me, before we get to Kriyat Shema, universally, what is the... Kriyat Shema might be different, as you say, Kabbalah so much, but universally, do I need Kavanah Lotzeis or I don't need Kavanah, according to Rambam Rashid? Reb Chaim was of the opinion that I don't need Kavanah Lotzeis.
Okay.
And Shofar is the exception because it's linking up with his Tkiah, etc., etc. Or Megillah, he wasn't reading a prop, blah, blah, blah. But what's your opinion, Mitch?
If I wanted to explain the Rambam, I'd say that you don't need Kavanah.
Oh, not like Reb Chaim.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. That, let's leave Reb Chaim on the side. Reb Chaim understands that... Oh, wait a second. Universally, you're saying like... Oh, so you're back to Reb Chaim again. That you don't need Kavanah. Oh, I thought you were going to take the opposite way because you wanted to say Kabbalah Salmach Shema. Can I interject here? I would say the following, not like Reb Chaim, that universally the halacha is that mitzvahs tzrichas kavanah. And that's why the Rambam says in Shofar you have to have kavanah. And that's why the Rambam says in Hilchos Megillah you have to have kavanah. In Kriyat Shema you don't have to have kavanah. The answer is because Kabbalah Salmach Shema. What do I mean? That since in Pasuk Rishon he had a kavana of Kabbalas Omal Shamayim, that's enough to engender a kavana throughout the entire, through the balance of Kriyat Shema. Oh, and now we say what? Yeah, okay, I was just about, you took the words out of my mouth. Okay? Now we get back to the rhyme. Meaning, what does the Rambam mean when he says that in Matzah Yoyotzei, Rabbi Sachnutz quotes the Ran? So let me just read to you the language of the Ran, and with this we'll complete our discussion for today. I love this shiur because, not because I gave the shiur, that too, but because I love the topic. I mean, it's just, I love this topic. The Ran says the following. This is in Rosh Hashanah Daf Zayin Amid Beis, a world famous Ran. The Ran says, "Gasina and Bigmara Sholchle Lavud Dishmu Kafu V'Yochal Matzah Yotza." Klomar, im Kafu Parsi V'Yochal Matzah B'Lel Pesach Shalola Kavanas Mitzvah Yotzi Dechol Vaso. Says the Ran, the Kosevar Od, the Dafko Kihai Gavni Yotza Shiodeahu Achshav Shepesachu V'Zu Matzah El Shenim Is Kavin Lotzis. Av Kosevar Cholhu V'Yochal Matzah O Savur. That he says is misasik. Okay, fine. Then here's the punchline for our purposes. He says the following. He says, no, even if he's misasik, he would be yotze. Why? Kevan shenene biachiloso, lo mikri misasik. The universal principle of misasik does not apply in a case of nene b'achiloso. And what's the proof, says the Ran, quotes the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, da'afil inyin kar mechatos amrinon ha-misasik v'chalovim v'arayos chayov Shenena. He says that if a person has no awareness whatsoever, there's chalev in front of him. It looks like Schumann. This is more than just a classical shogeg. Or if it's arayos, you know, he thinks he's having relations with his wife, and lo and behold, it's an erva. In these cases, which is a misase case, he's chayv a karma. Why? The answer is shekein men. That if a person is involved in a maisa where he has hanah from the guf ha-maisa, then the principle of misasek is suspended. Why? Because the hanah itself links the maisa to him, and there's a yachas between the maisa and him because he is nen. One second. Says the Ran, to the same extent that in averos, hanah undermines the halacha of misasek, so too in mitzvahs, the hanah undermines and cancels the halacha of misasek. So therefore, even though I'm totally unaware of the fact that it's Pesach, and I've been forced to eat matzah by these parsim for whatever reason, I'm yotzei. And why am I yotzei? The answer is that even though mitzvahs ain't tzrichas, even though mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, here's the exception to the rule, shekein nene. The hanah itself of the achila makes it into my achila. That's the Ran. Is Rabosai, just to finish, and then we'll if you want to discuss this, but I want to let the guys go, you know. That this could help us in the Rambam. Ein achinami, the Rambam holds that in general mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, not the way Rav Chaim understood it, and Araya, the Rambam holds that in shofar you must have kavana lotzes, and in Kriyas HaMegillah you have to have kavana lotzes, but in matzah the Rambam holds you don't need kavana lotzes. Why? Shekein nene. So if we take the Ran Svara and we're willing to tolerate it and push it into the Rambam, and we're going to say that in Kriyat Shema, because he has the kavana in the Pasuk Rishon of Kabbal Sabah Shemaim, which spreads, or shall we say expands, throughout all the parashas of Kriyat Shema, those are the two exceptions to the rule, but the universal rule is that mitzvahs, tzrichos, kavanah.
What about
Well, mitzvahs lav lenas mitnu only applies if the hanah is looking for a word, is coincidental to the mitzvah. Meaning, if through the mitzvah you'll get a hanah, but the hanah is not integral to the mitzvah, it doesn't define the essence of the mitzvah, then we apply the principle of mitzvahs lav lehenesling. But when the hanah is integral to the mitzvah itself is hanah, then we don't apply the principle of mitzvahs lav
lehenesling. And this is now, you define whatever they stuff down.
Then you have to ask yourself whether or not the Ran, and we're using the Ran to explain the Rambam, requires hanah kedarka with a maisa mahana, or no, we're not bound or circumvented or circumscribed by the universal principles that define a maisa achila and a hanah kedarka. Maybe there's a new halacha in achila that if his body is nene, that itself is enough. But I think, Mitch, your approach is probably correct. And it's logical that just like in Arayas and just like in Chalavim, you know, we require a Maisa, right? A Pulas, Chalshem Pulas, Maisa Ver, whether it be Maisa Erva, Maisa Bia, or in the case of Chalavim, we require a Maisa Chila. If he's cuts b'mizono, you know, here you have to get into really the nitty-gritty detail. What's Mafkir the Maisa Chila? And your case is cuts b'mizono. You know, cuts b'mizono might be Mafkir the Maisa Chila. And therefore, we can't apply the principle of Shekein Nen.
Isn't the halakha that you're not Yotze if you do you a Bolia without any real
Akila? What? Bolia is considered a Maisa Chila called Tarkula. No, what do you mean you're not Yotze?
You threw it down your throat. Okay.
Bola matzah yotza. I don't know what. Maybe you have a different case. Maybe somebody threw it down his throat. Tochav lo beisabli. But generally, bola matzah yotza. So you're asking, where's the hanah in bola matzah? So that's called hanah smeayim. So then you have to go into the whole sugi reish lokish Rabbi Yochanan and chulin about hanah smeayim, hanah grono, and so forth and so on. But bola matzah yotza. because he has hanos meayin. Even though matzah mevusheles, if he cooks the matzah, he's not yotze. I mean, that's the whole issue with all the people who can't chew the matzah. But I'm just saying, the reason for that is, it's very interesting, the poskim use the principle of kol haroi lebilein bila makevesbo, that if it's got tam matzah, but you decide to be bolei the matzah, then you yotze. But if, let's say, you mafkir the tam matzah, meaning you take the matzah and you boil it in a hot pot, you're boiling water, that's called bisholas matzah. Is matzah mevushelas lo yotze because kol she'ena roi lebila bila makevesbo? Meaning, if the cheft itself is not roi lebila letam, you know, there's no tam, then it loses its status as matzah. But again, that's a whole shiur unto itself, you know.
All right,
Shkoyach Rabosai. I enjoyed it a lot today. These are the kinds of sukkahs that I look forward to, because it's like, you know, call it Tarikula. You know, it's.